Today is Friday, April 17th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. It is time to take a clearly leading role in space achievement, which in many ways may hold the key to our future on Earth. Not since the above was said during President John F. Kennedy's Man on the Moon speech to Congress in 1961 has the space race been so front and center, culminated by the recent Artemis II lunar flyby and successfully safe splashdown. This week, our eyes continue to look skyward with Amazon ramping up the space saga by acquiring satellite operator Globalstar for $11.6 billion. This marks the company's second largest acquisition and secures Amazon with the rights to radio wave spectrum, which would open the door for them to provide direct-to-device, D2D, mobile communications. Two major stakeholders who could have made noise both came out in favor of the deal. Anson Funds, who pushed for a sale in 2023, publicly praised the deal and said that it was value maximizing, reflecting the company's unique position. Meanwhile, Apple, which owns 20% of Globalstar, implicitly supported the deal as Amazon entered a separate agreement for its LEO unit to support satellite service for Apple's iPhone and watch products. The move is the latest in Jeff Bezos's galactic focus as his companies expand ambitions for space. And unlike the space race of the 1960s, our current race sees Jeff Bezos's companies face off against Elon Musk's SpaceX and Starlink program. Amazon's deal this week announces the company's LEO division as a major competitor to Starlink, which has dominated this industry for years. All of this comes as SpaceX is set to be the largest IPO in history, with NASDAQ getting ready to roll out the red carpet should SpaceX choose to list there. The exchange announced that it will enact a rule change to accelerate entry into the index from 3 months to 15 days, which would likely allow the juggernaut to hit the main index almost immediately after listing. Now, let's turn to activism. The Financial Times reports, BP's proxy fight exposes bugs in shareholder voting machine. Using the recent tumult at BP, in which Glass Lewis recommended against Chair Albert Manifold after the company excluded a shareholder resolution, the FT dives into the challenges of following proxy advisors' recommendations at face value, with some active managers starting to give governance teams a larger seat at the table. From CNBC, Daikin shares jump 14% after activist investor Elliott pushes for reforms. Daikin Industries has become the latest target in Elliott's growing focus in Japan, with Paul Singer's fund building a 3% stake and demanding the company improve margins while evaluating the sale of non-core assets. Next up, mergers and acquisitions. JPM's head of North American M&A, Jay Hoffman, sat down with Bloomberg's Ryan Gould to discuss recent trends in M&A, including the rise in cross-border deals despite being in a time of political and market uncertainty. In another busy week in the Paramount Warner Bros. Merger movie, the deal writes that ISS and Glass Lewis have backed the $110 billion deal while opposing golden parachute provisions. The New York Times noted that more than 1,000 Hollywood stars signed an open letter opposing the merger, and Reuters reported that the UK's Competition and Markets Authority is launching an investigation into the deal's competitive compliance. Moving on to corporate governance news. From Semaphore, Arvind Krishna, IBM CEO on big bets, AI, and quantum. Arvind Krishna joins Semaphore's The CEO Signal and shares his approach to making critical decisions during rapid technological advancements. Krishna also discusses IBM's focus on AI and quantum computing, including looking back at the company's Red Hat acquisition. The Economist reports, America's corporate boards are under siege. Corporate boards are facing their most unpredictable proxy season yet, as record activist campaigns, new director selection rules, and the weakening of proxy advisors strip away the backroom tools boards once relied on to keep shareholders in line. And from Financial Times, U.S. shareholder reform proposals hit a five-year low as support wanes. Due to fewer environmental and social campaigns, along with changes at the SEC, shareholder proxy proposals hit a five-year low as more activists opt to engage directly with companies rather than wait for proposals at annual meetings. Finally, in Cleary Gottlieb's antitrust review episode, Cleary partner Nick Levy interviews former DOJ antitrust official Gail Slater about antitrust goals, the conservative case for strong enforcement, merger review, the role of lobbying, and digital era regulation. Turning to IPO news. From Semaphore, one hedge fund is pitching a fix to SpaceX's IPO deluge, shorten employee lockup periods. A Lycos global management document proposed a tied threshold index dynamic exit IPO structure for SpaceX that shortens and staggers insider lockups with price-triggered share releases to prevent a post-IPO sell-off. And from Bloomberg, Ackman starts marketing Pershing IPO to raise up to $10 billion. Pricing is expected on April 28th, despite a volatile geopolitical backdrop that has delayed other IPO plans. Ackman looks to raise between $5 to $10 billion for the closed-end fund, which would also give investors stakes in the hedge fund. From our desk to yours. This week, GP Pers ventured downtown for dinner at Dean's, a charming new restaurant serving elevated British pub fare. The 1960s theme continues with this modern British invasion coming to us from co-owners Jess Shadbolt and Annie Shee, the duo behind King who expanded right next door as Chef Jess Shadbolt shares the foods that she grew up with in Suffolk, on England's southeast coast. We began with some bar nibbles, including Guinness bread with Marmite butter and pork scratchings served with homemade orchard sauce. We then moved to some refreshing East Coast oysters, quail scotch eggs, and cold roast beef. Each bite was better than the last. Most of us opted for fish and chips as an entree, doused in a healthy serving of squeezed lemon juice and malt vinegar. We also couldn't help but sample the delicious crab and crumpet, and the Barnsley chop with the side of mashed peas was a major hit as well. Of course, our readers know that no meal would be complete without a drink, and Dean's stellar cocktail and wine offerings delivered. To begin, the table started out with a few cocktails, including the Wimbledon-inspired lemon drop with Tito's, strawberries, and ricotta foam, and the gimlet with Ford's gin and cucumber. We then moved to wine, starting with the Pierre Weber L'Orange, a delicious skin contact wine from Alsace, France that set the tone for the meal. We followed the Alsatian wine with Antonio Madeira Vinhas Velhas Branco Douro, a stunning Portuguese white wine that came to us at the suggestion of Dean's amazing sommelier, whose passion for wine and suggestions alone would make the trip worthwhile. Dean's teleports anyone who walks through the doors to coastal Britain with a hearty meal that will have you wanting to come back as soon as possible. Finally, while you are waiting for the next opening at Dean's, make sure to check out Caviar Day at Smorgasburg this weekend in Williamsburg. From Astria Caviar, these special dishes won't last long, so we recommend getting there early. And in open tabs this week, The Wall Street Journal. When every bar is a speakeasy. What actually is a speakeasy? Financial Times. A place to drink wine in New York for every occasion. Financial Times. So you've stolen a Matisse. What do you do next? The New York Times. The $40 half chicken that ruffled Brooklyn. The New Yorker. The car crash conspiracy. In upcoming events. April 17th, Ira M. Milstein Memorial Conference. New York, New York. April 23rd, Berkeley Spring Forum. San Francisco, California. May 3rd to 6th, Milken Institute Global Conference. Los Angeles, California. May 6th, Sportico's Invest West Conference, San Francisco, California. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.